social media.
March 8 was International Women's Day. Women all over the world celebrated and commemorated this significant day online. Lee Tran Lam is here to talk us through some of that coverage. She's a food writer. She podcasts about food. I reckon she's a pretty big food fan, you'd have to say from that. Both her blog and her podcast are called The Unbearable Lightness of Being Hungry. So subscribe now wherever you can do that. You can follow her on Twitter at Lee Tran Lam. Hello and welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I am hungry talking to you now. Thank you. International Women's Day dominated social media all week, actually, beyond just the day, I reckon. It was kind of a big theme. There was a lot of social media campaigns popping up in my feed, that's for sure. One that caught your eye and, you know, fortuitously it caught mine too, was the Sydney Boys High School and a video they made. Here's some of the audio from it.
Feminism is important to me because a few months ago, a guy decided for me that I wanted to have sex with him. I didn't want to.
Feminism is important to me because despite being a fully qualified vet, a woman recently told me I would not be able to go out to her farm and pull a calf because it would be too hard for me. I went out there and I pulled that calf.
So explain what we're listening to there.
So that's Sydney Boys High School, obviously male students taking quotes from women in their life about why feminism is important to them. And I think part of the reason why it went viral is it highlights the absurdity of some of the things that women still have to face. You know, one of the quotes was, feminism is important to me because my dad doesn't think I can be an engineer. And I think hearing it from men just really showed that even though we think we've achieved so much with equal rights, there's still a fair distance to go with how women are accepted in society.
Did people respond well to it? Do you think it got the kind of traction it was, you know, they were hoping that it would get?
Well, I think reading an interview in the Sydney Morning Herald, some of the boys said they were taken aback by how big it became, and they said most of the coverage was positive. There are a few people pointing out, well, why does it have to be boys pointing this out? Why can't women speak for themselves? But I think having guys say it has a different effect. I have a friend who works at a non-profit who deals with domestic violence awareness, and she said one of the most effective ways to get the message out about domestic violence is actually having men talk about it. So I think that was also part of the reason why this got such a huge response.
Now, everyone's favourite feminist celebrity, Emma Watson, was all over Instagram for International Women's Day. What was she doing?
Well, she was playing, in her words, Ninja Book Fairy, because she was dropping off feminist books at memorials for some of her heroines, such as Joan of Arc, Harriet Tubman, Eleanor Roosevelt, dropping off books by writers such as Alice Walker and Maya Angelou. So that was kind of a nice way to get out the message as well, not just a sermon about, you know, International Women's Day, getting women's writing out there in a kind of unconventional way.
It also highlights just how few statues there are of women compared to men, right?
Yeah, I guess it does that too.
Did you like the social media coverage of the event, like the entire day? It seems like online was the space that very much where the focus was for a lot of people.
Yeah, I liked how some people were a bit left field about how they went about it. There was a cafe in Sydney that, to address the gender pay gap, they were offering all women a 16.2% discount on everything they were selling, just to point out that, hey, women just don't get paid as much as men do for the same job.
Ah, yes, that old chestnut pay. All right, let's move to another topic. And I think given the introduction I gave for you, which was basically food, 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 it's appropriate that we go to food. You're a food writer. A story that was all over your feed this week was that of a Danish restaurant called Noma. Tell me about it.
So Noma has been named best restaurant in the world 4 times by the world's 50 best restaurants list. And a story that went viral was about the fact that they gave their dishwasher, Ali Sonko, a 10% share in the holding company that runs Noma. And that's quite unusual for many reasons. Ali is not just a typical dishwasher. So he's been with the restaurant for all of its 13 years. He's actually, even though usually the dishwasher job is seen as, you know, a low-ranking position. He's actually one of the highest paid people in the kitchen. Rene Redzepi, who runs a restaurant, says his role is as important as sous chef or head chef. And he's been such a part of the restaurant that I think one of the first times they were named best restaurant in the world, the staff flew over to London to celebrate and accept the award, but Ali couldn't get there because of British visa issues. So everyone on the team wore a T-shirt with his face on it to honour him as a tribute to him. And I think maybe the third time they won the award, he actually got to give the acceptance speech. So I think he holds quite a celebrated role within the restaurant.
Why do you think people love the story so much? Or you don't even have to comment on other people. Why did you love the story so much?
I think when people think of the best restaurants in the world, there's an idea that they're these rarefied places that no one can really get to. But the fact that a humble dishwasher could become a celebrity because he's just a nice guy and such a well-valued member of the kitchen, I think everyone can relate to that. When the news came out, Rene Redzepi, who runs Noma, said every single Danish TV show interviewed him about it. And I think there's a kind of, I guess, rags to riches appeal to that story.
Also doing the rounds on social media, a novel way of using fish skin. A hospital in Brazil is experimenting with the material. What are they doing with fish skin?
So they're sterilising fish skin and they're helping burns victims heal faster with the fish skin. What's interesting about the skin is it has a lot of moisture, it has a lot of tension. Not only does it help heal the wounds, but it's a lot less painful than having to dress it with gauze and, you know, rip off the gauze every now and again. With second degree burns victims, they can actually leave the fish skin on until the wound properly heals. So it's a much more pleasant experience.
And how did this kind of unfold on social media? Did people get really excited about it?
I think it's such an unusual story and people always, you know, can't believe that something like this would happen. So it always gets a lot of shareability.
Yeah, that's it. The likes and the sharing happens at a very high rate. Hey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure.
That's Lee Tran Lam, a food writer. She podcasts about food and, well, she likes food. Who doesn't like food? I mean, some people might not like food, but a lot of people like food. Both her blog and her podcast are called The Unbearable Lightness of Being Hungry. You can subscribe now. And you can also follow her on Twitter, @LeeTranLam. Keep listening. Up next, it's a very musical drawing room.